who is stepping down to pursue her doctorate degree in theater. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Portland Art Museum chief curator Bruce Gunther, who is retiring in October. Coming up next is Sarah Swetsoff's interview with retired NSA agent J. Kirk Wiebe about the sentencing of CIA whistleblower Jeffrey Sterling. After that, we go to Spo and Jimmy to talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in Oregon.
Good night, Rosalind.
Good night, Robert. Good night, Mike.
Good night, Mike.
I'm here with J. Kirk Wiebe, a retired National Security Agency whistleblower who worked at the agency for over 32 years. We're speaking on the occasion of today's sentencing of CIA whistleblower Jeffrey Sterling, who is accused of passing classified information to a New York Times reporter. Mr. Wiebe, I understand that you were at the sentencing today. Can you give us a firsthand account and talk about the significance of the sentencing?
Well, you know what? To set the record straight, I was not there. I would have liked to have, but a family matter required my attention. That said, let me say this about my reaction to not only the sentence, but the Jeffrey Sterling case. First of all, I'm very pleased to see that the sentence was nothing like the 30 to 35 years that had been described by some, that the government would have liked to have seen. Still, 42 months is a long time for a married man. 42 months is a long time for a man who appears to me to have been a very upstanding person who simply had a legitimate complaint against his employer in filing a discrimination suit against the CIA. So that what follows appears to me to be recrimination. Retribution, if you will.
And you're referring to his allegations of racism that he had made some years before?
Yes. Now, does that play the major role? I really don't know. I think it's part of it. I don't think the government likes any employee to sue it. And so it would clearly anger the government. You know, when the government's in charge, it wants to be in charge. It doesn't like these kind of problems. Now, it may not have played the major role. The accusations about the Iranian nuclear deal is probably where the real fight came in. Jeffrey obviously saw something in that in his conscience was not right. He then took steps to deal with it internally to no avail and ultimately went to the press in the person of James Risen, apparently, although Risen, to date, will not disclose his sources. So we're assuming this. Now, in the case, the government cites metadata. This is the infamous metadata that we've heard that NSA collects, the FBI collects. I'm sure the CIA collects it. In any case, they can use it, whether they collect it or not. The government has it about all of us. So they apparently collected some email metadata and some phone call metadata, and based on that alone, a judge convicts the person under the Espionage Act. Well, there's several things wrong with this, but the two most important are you don't invoke the Espionage Act against a person, a U.S. citizen, who cannot be shown to have collaborated with an enemy. James Risen, a journalist, is not the enemy in our society. We view journalism as a pillar of our democracy. And if we can't have some reasonable expectation of freedom of speech and in terms of getting the truth out, our democracy is long gone. And we might as well face it. So we have to decide as a society, what are we going to do with these cases? Now, the government claims there was classified information involved. Now, let me tell you a little bit about classified information. If you do some research on the Internet, you will find tons of investigations and report that the government is notorious. I'm going to underline that word, notorious, for overstating classification. In other words, it always makes classification too high. So if something's confidential, they may call it top secret. Or if it's secret, they may call it top secret. Or if it's unclassified, they may call it top secret. Now, I have evidence that the latter example I just gave you of unclassified data being classified wrongly by high officials of the U.S. government just happened. If you saw the recent release by the New York Times of the report done by the Inspectors General of the Intelligence Community, we call it the 5IGs report for short. And it was about President Bush's surveillance program and whether it was illegal or not, who did what, and that kind of thing. It was highly classified, so you or I could not view it. However, New York Times FOIA'd, Freedom of Information Act, the report, got it. It was redacted and given out. Now, the report is a little over 407 pages long, and it has anything from words to paragraphs blanked out because the government thinks they're classified. I looked at the first 50 pages of the report, and I'll tell you why I say 50. It's because the very first paragraph of the report is marked top secret special intelligence. But that classification line is stricken. It's lined out. And the paragraph is unclassified now. Because no words were stricken, I said to myself, this is highly unusual that a paragraph classified the highest classification that we have in the country, top secret, is reclassified as unclassified with no redaction done to any text. In other words, all the content remained the same. But for release under FOIA, they simply took out the classification. When I read the content of the classification or of the paragraph, it was clear to me it was not classified. And there are 30 such paragraphs in the report in the first 50 pages where they are marked from top secret to unclassified after released through the FOIA process. I also counted another 29 paragraphs that had originally been classified secret that were really unclassified. Now, I give you this example as real evidence that the government is incompetent or purposefully puts classifications on to hide information you and I would otherwise have permission to see. It doesn't want us to know truth. And that's why I cite this example to you today. Now, imagine that people are being prosecuted in courts of law, like Jeffrey Sterling, where people are making assertions that things are classified, and judges are buying it. They're believing the government, not challenging it to see if it really is. They just accept that government has the authority to deem something classified. That figures in the sentencing and the procedure in court. So we have a government that has not been able to properly manage classification issues, getting people sentenced to jail based on the claim that they're divulging classified information. Even if it isn't technically illegal to do this, because I think the government has to prove its ability to manage classification if it's going to gain the confidence of the American people, this certainly shows that we're not going to have that confidence. And it makes it appear that a great injustice has been done, and I, for one, happen to believe that's the case.
I wanted to bring up the comparison with David Petraeus's sentencing. He's the former general and CIA director who pled guilty to divulging so-called classified information, yet he got 2 years of probation, whereas, as you pointed out before, prosecution was seeking, I think it was 19 to 24 years for Sterling. Could you speak to that discrepancy in sentencing?
To me, it's an injustice. What's the difference here? Level of classification? I don't know. I've just talked to you about how classification, when the government says something's classified, you can't believe it. Or at least there's a great discrepancy. Are we going to accept a willy-nilly standard by government? And here it is in sentencing. We have one judge sentencing Petraeus to a slap on the wrist and a fine that he can easily pay for giving one night speech. And we have a lower level employee, an officer at the CIA, receiving 42 months. I don't think anyone is going to view that as justice. Now, the judge in Sterling's case, Brinkema, claims that that was taken into consideration. And not only Petraeus' sentence, but John Kiriakou, the other CIA employer. But the judge pointed out that Kiriakou pleaded guilty, and that's why he got a lesser sentence than Jeffrey Sterling. To me, the whole thing stinks of high heaven. And if this is justice, I don't know. It's not my definition of justice.
So we almost get the impression that classifications are arbitrarily made up or changed in order to possibly punish someone who embarrassed the CIA through a racism allegation, or to create a more lenient sentencing for someone who has been in a position of authority, and that kind of biased sentencing is enabled by this flawed classification process that you've described.
Absolutely, sir. That's exactly the situation we have.
And exactly the situation that we have here at KBOO is that we need your support so that you can continue to hear voices such as you're hearing during this evening news broadcast tonight. We're bringing you diverse viewpoints. We're questioning the status quo. We're questioning the pablum that we are expected to gobble up and digest. And the only way that we are able to do that is because you go to the phone and dial 877-500-5266. And, of course, it's KBOOF.FM online. This is the time of day when the phones ring with a little bit less frequency. But what happens is when you do make that call, we're that much more appreciative. And also what happens is that people really step up and bring their A game at this time of the day. They really dig down deep and they say to themselves, what is this worth to me to be hearing a volunteer-produced evening news broadcast that's also pulling from a variety of sources around the country to bring you that diverse set of viewpoints, and then rely on you to make up your own mind about the issues that we talk about. And right now, I'm asking you to make up your own mind and go to that phone and become a contributor to your community radio station at 877-500-5266.
That's right, Jimmy. You know, at this point in time, media consolidation is definitely at an all-time high, and local news shows like ours here at KBOO are increasingly rare. And even more rare is the truth that we bring to the airwaves and through the interwebs. And it's so important for you to help us do that, to help us continue to be able to do that, by giving us a call at 877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm and pledging your support so that we can continue to bring you this amazing newscast Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. in addition to all the other amazing news and public affairs programs that you hear every day. And you know they are amazing, because how many times has your jaw dropped when you've listened to something on cable and go, I don't believe I just heard that?
Some of the things that you hear on KBOO are the voice of Ken Kesey at Powell's from September of 1992. We recorded his visit there, and that is on that 4-gig KBOO flash drive that I mentioned earlier, which is available for only $6.25 per month, $75 membership. And if you kick in at that level, you also get that Friends of Trees, Tree Planted in Your Name. Both of those are available to you because you decided that you can afford $6.25 a month and become a supporting member, a sustaining member of your community radio station. There's one phone call going on in the background. That's right. What I like to hear. Keep it ringing, folks.
Let's keep it ringing, because it is important that we do what we do here, KBOO. And I know that you know that it's important that you appreciate what we do. And the only way we can know that you appreciate it is if you call and support us with your financial support. A monthly donation of $5 a month gets you started. There are thank you gifts we have that we can offer you at that rate. $6.25, like Jimmy said, is the $75 level. We have so many choices of things that we can offer you as thank you gifts. But the main thing we want to offer you is to know that we are going to be here for you, telling you the truth about what you need to hear. So give us a call right now at 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm and let us know that you are with us and want us to continue doing what we do as a community resource for you.
That's right. We can't read your mind like Spo said, but we can read your credit card or debit card number back to you as we set you up for one of those electronic fund transfers. That's just a monthly. You never even know it happened until you read your bill and see what a small, at least from your perspective, contribution can do when it all adds together with our other supporting members. Just go ahead and do that $6.25 a month. That's what I'm recommending to you. You know you can afford it, and you're going to get a tree planted in your name and this 4-gig KBOO flash drive. Some other voices that you're going to hear on there. You remember Molly Ivins, that Texan who told it like it was? Well, she is on that as well. But the way that you can access that quality programming and audio recordings is by calling 877-500-5266. Up next is Prison Pipeline and Labor Radio.
KBOO members, what's your vision for your community radio station? How do you see the mission of KBOO? The KBOO Foundation has a programming charter and strategic plan, and now it's time for a mission and vision statement to help direct our policy and inspire the community. From now through May 15th, we're inviting member input on our website. Visit kboo.fm/survey2015 to take our survey. You can also read up on our programming charter and other guidelines and find frequently asked questions at the same page, kboo.fm/survey2015.